if I haven't said so this morning, it's good to see everyone here this morning. Thank you for coming today. I do have my Sunday humor, and it does relate to the message today. And it's about my Uncle Jack. Uncle Jack was starting to have trouble remembering. So he went to the doctor, and the doctor started him on some pills to help him remember. So I went to visit Uncle Jack, and I said, "Hey, Uncle Jack, what was the name of those pills that you got for your memory?" Uncle Jack said, "Hold on, let me think. It's Daisy. No, it's Petunia." Well, then I said, "Is it Tulip?" Uncle Jack said, "No, it's not that." I said, "Well, is it some kind of flower?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Well, is it a rose?" And he goes, yeah, that's it. It's Rose. He leans towards the doorway and he says, "Rose, what's the name of that pill that I'm supposed to take from my memory?" I don't think the medication's working. I think the power of prayer would probably help. I think all of us this morning could relate to this scripture, and it would be one of the top ones in our memory. And that would be what? John 3:16. That God so loved the world that he gave his only son, right? That's one of the things that we, you know, that takes top priority when it comes to our scriptures. But then it goes on and it says, "And that whosoever believes on him shall not perish but have everlasting life." So we cling to that scripture. That's going to be one of the top scriptures that we're going to remember. So in our file, you know, we have a cabinet in our mind with files in it. And it could be anything from a file of remembering, okay, I pay my bills the first of the month and the end of the month, or I pay my bills in the middle of the month. So you've got this file that you go to for that particular thing that you need to remember. Or maybe it's a file, like when I go to my family reunions for my brothers and sisters, 12 brothers and sisters, I need to not only have this file up here, but my sister who knows everybody, and she knows who belongs to who, and then before I feel like, look like a total fool because I don't know who this one belongs to, she will come with me and say, "That one belongs to this one over here." She kind of helps me out. So I do my best to try to remember out of 12 brothers and sisters who belongs to who. And now they're having kids, and that's, you can just forget it from there. Because I think we got up to 60-some kids, so there's just no way. But let's go to a different, let's touch on something that we can all relate to in some degree. Let's say we have a memory for things that we enjoy doing. Let's say, like yesterday, I took my grandkids to the movies, and we saw Space Jam, or day before yesterday. And we really enjoyed it. Now, that's something that the kids are going to remember. They're going to remember Space Jam. My grandson likes to play basketball. That's what the story was about, basketball to him. And it's something that he's going to relate to. It's going to be filed in his memory bank under things he did with, of movies, okay? But for me, that file is going to be under something else. It's going to be, I remember the time when I spent that time with my grandchildren. So the files are going to be similar in some ways and yet filed differently in other ways. You get what I'm saying? Okay, so let's say how many of you have a file in your memory bank that you enjoy watching certain movies? Anybody? Anybody a movie buff? Anybody? A few people. Okay, so if you're a movie buff, I'll give you an example. If you're a movie buff, I'm a movie buff for John Wayne. Now, I could probably name maybe 9 out of 10 or maybe 8 out of 10 of the movies that John Wayne was in. That's in another file in my memory bank. How about Elizabeth Taylor? Did some of you follow when she did her movies? Were you excited when she had a movie come out that you wanted to go see it? How about Cleopatra? She was in Cleopatra. How about Sean Connery on 007? The thing is that when you go to these, remember years ago when they used to do the trivia game? Remember when the trivia came out and everybody thought that was a cool thing when you went to parties and they all played the trivia game? Well, one of my greatest ones when they had the Bible trivia come out, because, you know, I was more into that than I was some of the movies and stuff that were out at the time. But all of us have certain kind of files for certain kind of things. How many of you are music buffs? In other words, do you like certain kinds of music? Like, let's say it's country music. And you know, okay, Glenn says he likes his country music, and I know he likes Alan Jackson. Anybody else country music? Anybody? Okay, so there's a number of you. So you guys could probably tell me more about, like, is it Carrie Underwood? Is she country music? Is she? Okay, see, I wouldn't know that. But you guys have got that file in your memory bank that you can go to for that particular thing. Here's another one, and this is more for you guys. Some of you guys, you like your sports, and you're kind of into the sports statistics of maybe basketball or football or hockey or something on that order, and you could probably rattle off the wins and losses of the Cubs or the Cardinals and who's on the top and who's doing good in football, and you know, I've heard the guys talk about that quarterback's got to go, you know. But these, again, are filed in a file in a certain direction in your memory bank. How about not only movies, but this one comes to mind, and I don't even know why it does, because I've maybe watched it two times out of all the years it was on, but Cheers. Remember Cheers? But the reason I remember that particular one is because of the theme song. I don't know what the title of it was, but does that melody kind of bounce in your head a little bit, anybody? I don't know what the name of it is, but the melody just bounces right off in my head because it comes back to you from that file cabinet that's in your mind. And you go, well, where is she going with all this? Well, one more example I want to give you. I know there are some of you in here this morning that are reading buffs. My daughter loves, what is it, Stephen King? He's an author? Okay. And she loves reading all of his stuff. Raise your hands if you're a reading buff. Okay, we've got quite a few. Okay, so a lot of you could tell me your favorite author. Now, to me, the only one that really comes to my mind is Little House on the Prairie, you know, because that was a series that I could relate to. I enjoyed it. But we also have, like a file for family memories. And unfortunately, we do have a file for bad things that have happened in our lives, and we don't want to go to that file. That's just one file. It's probably got cobwebs and whatever else in it, and we just don't want to deal with that. But we can also file that one under learning a lesson. Did we learn a lesson from whatever it was that is a bad memory? Okay? Or maybe school memories. School days, good old golden school days. So we all have these kind of files, and we all have all this kind of data going on. But let me ask you, do we have a memory file for the Word of God? And if we do, how much is filed in that folder that we have? Do we have a lot of verses in there? For example, do we have a file for these verses that relate to certain topics or certain things that we deal with maybe on a daily basis? For example, healing, Jeremiah 30, I will restore your health. It's God's promise to us. Can we go to that file, that memory file, and pull up a scripture right off the top for that particular thing that we need healing for? Or how about this one, peace? I like this. It was 1 Corinthians, and it says, God is not the author of confusion, but the author of peace. So when we are going through a day of total frustration. I think Eleanor said she had one of those weeks last week where it was just like she felt frazzled and just kind of frustrated. And that's when we should be able to allow those memories, those verses, to come to the surface and remind us. And that's why I said this morning when I started my prayer, opening prayer, I said, Lord, You've placed the Holy Spirit in me. Holy Spirit, bring all things that I have searched and studied and prepared for. Bring it back to my remembrance. That's what we need to do before we start our day. Holy Spirit, you, God, you know what I'm going to go through today. You already have gone before me and prepared the way. So what I ask of you today, right now, before I put one foot on the floor, bring the scripture to me that I need to help me to overcome, to help me to walk in victory in whatever battle or whatever temptation that's going to come at me today. Bring that scripture to me. But the thing is this, we have to take the time, take the effort to put it in so it can come out. You know, I can't expect to come in up here and give you a message if I haven't spent the time at home in prayer, trusting that God, you know, there's times when Tuesday and Wednesday night I'm going, Lord, I still haven't felt led on a particular message yet. And what it was last, what, Thursday, Marlene and I were together. She asked me what the message was. I go, I don't have it yet. And I'm going home, and we laughed. But it gets a little stressful. But I won't come up here until I know that what the Lord has given me is what He's given me, and I won't study, you know, anything else but that, because that's what I get focused on. But I can't expect God to help me get while I'm up here if I haven't studied and prepared myself. Although that happens. There's times when I've heard pastors say, you know, they had a whole thing laid out, and then the Holy Spirit will come and say, nope, that's not what you're preaching today. I've heard that many, many a times. Kenneth Copeland has said that. Jesse Duplantis, he'll get up here and have the whole thing laid out, and the Lord will say, nope, that's not, just put it aside. This is where you're going today with this. And then, you know, but because over the years they've studied so much, it's been put in, that when they allow the Holy Spirit to come in, and they, you know, they may have prepared a message, but then when they are led by the Holy Spirit, they put aside what they thought, and they allow the Holy Spirit to move them, and the Holy Spirit will, you know, maybe, I know Kenneth Copeland talked about, it was Jerry Seville. He had not known the Lord yet, and his wife kept asking him to come to a service of Kenneth Copeland's, and he didn't want to go. And finally, he got so tired of her asking, he goes, fine. He goes, who's the guy we're going to listen to? And he goes, his name is Kenneth Copeland. He goes, well, if that's the same Kenneth Copeland that I've heard sing country music, and he named off this title of this country song that he had sung at one time. And he goes, that guy, he's a country singer, and he can't possibly be a man of God. But to appease his wife, he finally went. But he said, I don't think he said it to his wife, I think he just said it to himself. He goes, the only way I'm going to stay and listen to that is if he admits at one time he used to sing country music. So he gets up there, Kenneth Copeland gets up there, starts ministering the message. Just before he gets into it, he says, I don't know why the Lord told me to say this, but I'm supposed to say, yeah, one time I sang this da-da-da-da song, and it was a country song. He goes, and then he says, I don't know why the Lord wanted me to say that, but it was for this guy, Jerry Seville, who now travels throughout the world. He's worked under Kenneth Copeland's ministries for many decades, but that's what happened. He was sensitive to the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, which brought that man into serving the Lord. He had a business, a major business, and he put it aside, and he now serves the Lord. And the Lord said to him when he accepted Christ, he said, I want you for 3 months. 3 months. You set your business aside. For 3 months, you are to totally dedicate yourself to the Word. And that's what he did for 3 solid months. Hour after hour, day after day. And the Lord, he said, let me teach you. I will teach you. So he got in the Word, and that's what happened. So when he did that, through the years, that just keeps building up, and God is able to use them. So let's go with strength. If we're seeking strength, it says, he gives strength to the weary and increases power to those who are weak. That's in Isaiah. In Proverbs, if we're seeking wisdom, Lord gives wisdom From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So let's go to an example. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, Jesus, he's fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And you know what Satan does? He likes to get you when you're down. And he's going to come at you with everything he's got. And sure as all get out, he did that to Jesus. He came to Jesus and he tempted him and he said to this to him. He says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to turn or to become bread. So Jesus, right there, is being tempted, and he's starving. He's starving. But Jesus responds, but when he responds, it's a way for us, it's an example for us and how Jesus did it so that we could do it just as well. And Jesus gave us the example to follow and how to deal with that temptation, because Jesus, you know, used the word. And Jesus responds in the next verse by saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So, and this is something that I was really kind of captivated by. Let's see if I have it here. I'll find it. And then it goes on, it says, it's good, you know, it's good for us to carry the Word of God with us, you know, carry our Bible with us, but the best thing for us to do is to get the Word of God in our hearts. And yes, I have my Bible. I have two different Bibles actually in my phone, and I carry them around like that. But if we get it in our hearts, nobody can take that from you. That's there. It's planted there. And as we memorize the Word of God, we can draw upon it at any time, 24/7. Last night, you know, I'm all pumped up of 10 hours of driving and coming back. And, of course, I couldn't sleep, so I'm laying there just quoting scripture after scripture after scripture. And finally, I went to sleep. That's better than any Tylenol PM or whatever. You know, that's going to work for you a lot better. So, and it doesn't tear up your kidneys. So in Psalms 119:11, it says, I have stored your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So God is saying here that he desires and that he wants us to saturate ourselves. First, allow the word to penetrate into our hearts. Sometimes our hearts have built up walls, and they're thick walls, they're hard walls. We put up because our hearts sometimes get hardened. Maybe not in every area of our lives, but certain areas where maybe we have a hard time forgiving this person that really did us wrong. So we have a wall built up on that person, in that area of our heart. But when we allow the Word of God to penetrate through there and then allow the Word to saturate our heart, you know, like a sponge, we allow the heart, our heart just to soak up the Word. So penetrate and saturate are to store, to memorize, and to, again, soak up the Word. And then to meditate on God's Word, it's literally mumbling or confessing it, God's Word, over and over and over again until it becomes a part of you. People, you know, they have different memory capabilities. And I've said this, I know I've said it to Marilyn a few times, and I think I've said it to Marlene, that I really struggle with trying to remember memory verses. It's just one of those things. But see, I'm confessing that. I shouldn't be confessing that. But I have said that, haven't I, Marilyn? I've said that. I have issues with that. But we've got to realize that God's grace is sufficient for us. That if we put in the time and we put in the dime, God's going to bring it to our remembrance. So we might have this excuse. It's an excuse that I have a hard time. But I bet you if I was to say to you, I will give you $1,000 for every verse you remember between now and tomorrow at this time, I'll bet all of us would crack open a couple of Bibles and we would be going at it. And the first one I think all of us would learn would be John 11:35, Jesus wept. That's a quick 1,000 right there, right? Yeah. I know, you guys would be lined up right here. My checkbook would be bouncing. But the thing is, that even though I would give you that $1,000, the value that you would get in the Word of God is, first off, you would get the knowledge of God because of his Word. Secondly, you would have that intimacy of God because of his word. And then a relationship, not a religion, but a relationship with God. And then the last would be that you would have the power. The power. He says, I give you power with my word. And when we do that, it you know, heads off that temptation of sin that comes along that wants to so easily beset us. You know, again, 119, Psalms 119, I store your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. All of those things right there are worth 10 times, a million times the $1,000 I would have given you standing there in line. What you gain from the word of God, there is no price on that. It's priceless. There's a woman, as I was studying that, they talked about this woman who was 100 years old. She could remember nothing else. Remember nothing else, but if you were to ask her to quote scripture, she whipped them out just like that. But it's because she was brought up in the word. She was brought up, you know, walking and talking the word, confessing the word. It was a part of who she was. It just came out of her. So we just have to trust that when that time comes, if we've put the time in and we've made the effort, God will bring that verse back to your remembrance. How many of you have talked about someone? Like yesterday I was in the car with my daughter and we were talking about, our place, the restaurant in Morris. They're closed. But I was telling her about this restaurant that my husband and I used to go to, and I couldn't remember the name. And I said, well, if I sit here long enough, sure enough, it'll come to me. And it did. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. If we just give, you know, we stop and say, okay, Holy Spirit, bring it to my remembrance. Or how many of us lost our keys or our phone, mislaid our phone? Every time that happens to me, I say, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm stopping everything. Just, you know, show me where it's at. Where did I put it this time? And within a few minutes or whatever, it'll pop into my mind where I laid my phone or my keys or whatever. So we've got to put in the time, but once we've done that, God says, I will bring all things that you have studied and prepared for, I will bring it back to your remembrance. And then you're saying, okay, Pastor Bonnie, why is it so important? Why is it so important for us to remember Scripture, to memorize Scripture? Well, first off, Jesus memorized scripture and quoted it all the time. He quoted 24 books of the Old Testament almost 180 times. And that's just when it was written down saying that that's what he did. There was times, I'm sure, that many times that he quoted scripture that no one knew that. How many times did he go and pray before the Father? He always used the word. Jesus knew that Scripture was the ultimate authority. And that's what we've got to get in us, that the Word of God is the authority. It's above. It says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every sickness, every disease, every lie, every deceit, everything will have to bow to the name of Jesus. When we realize that Jesus' ultimate authority was the Word of God. If Jesus used it, we, out of all people, we should be using it. Secondly, we are called to memorize Scripture because it says, we are called to do it because in Colossians 3:16 it says, let the word of Christ dwell within us richly. You know, we talk about we should love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. But it's a commandment. It's a command. We are to love each other as Christ loved the church. That's a command. And he's telling us here that in Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell within us richly. If you want to be an overcomer, it's saying how to do it. It's telling us if we get the word in us, we will come out ahead. My daughter shared a story of a woman, true story, of a woman who went through an abusive marriage, remarried after, you know, getting divorced. She remarried. Her husband was in a very, very, very bad accident, and from that accident left him quadriplegic, and so she cared for him. Her son killed himself, and then she dies of cancer. And she said this woman was the happiest woman you ever wanted to meet in your life. She had the joy of in her. She goes, so she, my daughter said to me, she goes, Mom, why would God allow this to all these things to happen to this woman? And you never knew it. You never knew by being around her that she had dealt with all of these issues in her life. She was happy. She just had this joy in her. Now, I don't know whether, I'm sure she, if she did, she had to have some type of relationship with the Lord. Because you, that's where you find your strength and your hope to continue on. And I thought that was quite a story that she shared. So another one, memorizing scripture renews our mind and transforms our lives. How many people have you met that have been either on drugs or alcohol, and when they found the Lord, it did a 360? You know, here's, I always fall back to Jeff Glenn's son, who, you know, ends up in prison because he made a wrong choice. Today, you know, I talked to him this last week. He goes, I am so glad that I'm in this prison because I would be in the world. He says, I am so happy. He says, I got a Bible, a study buddy, he says, and we study the Word together. He said, something as simple as that, something as little to you and I would be something, you know, not a big deal. But to him, this is a whole new life for him. It put a hope back in him. And God gets us in these, you know, when we make wrong choices, he gets our attention. And that's how he got Jeff's attention. He put him behind bars and got his attention. And Jeff is thankful. He's thankful for where he's at. And he is starting Bible programs there. And God is using him there. But the thing is, he is hanging on every word of the gospel. He's living it. He's breathing it. He's talking it. And the thing is, where he's at, he's got no other choice. But what it's, he doesn't realize is while he's there, it's training him up to when he can talk it all he wants. But when you're out in so many years, you're going to have to walk what you've talked. And he even says, it's a lot easier in here. He says, oh yeah, you got to watch your back. But you know what? When you get back out in the world, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where you've got the, that's where temptations are going to come in. And you have the right to say, no, I'm not following this path. I'm going to follow this path. He has a choice. And he does now too. He could take the bad choice. But he knows that he finds his hope in the Word. And he's getting it in him to where, again, like I said earlier, it's going to be a part of who he is. And you can just hear it in him, how God is working in him. Number four, memorizing scripture helps against temptation. You know, in Ephesians 6, it talks about the armor of God. Well, it mentions that the armor of God is the offensive weapon is the Word of God. One of the pieces of the armor of God is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the Spirit, or the Scripture, is a powerful weapon that can be used to help us overcome. Plus, it reminds us of God's precious and powerful promises to us that we can walk victorious. Another reason why we remember Scripture, and we touched on it earlier in Psalms 119, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it. You know, by guarding his path and using the Word, walking in the Word, talking the Word, confessing the Word, you know, living it out, trusting in the Word. Another one, memorizing Scripture shows us God's desire and his blessings in our lives. It's a constant reminder to us so that when we're still trying to get some of these scriptures in us to the point where they become who we are, we go back to the scriptures over and over again, and we get them to where they just are part of who we are, and it's just automatic. It's just an automatic thing. It's not something we have to think about anymore. But then, when you get to that point, then something else is going to come along, and that's, okay, how much do you trust me with my word? I'm going to bring a situation in your life, and I know where you're at with it, but I want you to find out where you're at with it. How are you going to trust me? Bring up a child in the ways of the Lord. When he grows older, will he not depart from it? I have to lean on that scripture every day. All of us in this room, to some degree, lean on that scripture, because our children and our grandchildren, they're out there in the world, and the world is pulling them in, trying to suck them in and take the life out of them. But if we keep standing on the word, God promises us that he will hold fast to them and that he will bring them to him. We have to, and sometimes, you know, we say, well, I'm reminding you, Lord. No, you're reminding yourself. And it's just reassuring yourself that God's word is yes and amen. There's no maybes. It's yes and amen. He's very clear. I'm a God that fulfills his word. He's never late. He's always on time. Memorizing scripture allows us to more readily share and encourage others, those that don't know Christ, and then also when our brothers and sisters in Christ are going through things, we can encourage them. And the last two, memory scripture gives us a better understanding of God's will and God's purpose, not just for us, but for our family, for our church family, for our community. It gives us a better understanding. It gives us a bigger picture that we can look at and trust and know that God's got it all under control. Lastly, memorizing scripture brings us wisdom, gives us hope, gives us peace. That list of endless needs goes on and on and on, but God's word covers every single one of them. God's word is life, therefore that word can bring life and hope in every situation, every circumstance. So my question to you in closing today is this. So why would you not want to take the time? Why would you not want to make the effort to let the word of God penetrate through that wall of your heart and allow your heart to be saturated with the word of God and then permeate, spread it, allow it to touch other lives, allow it to affect other lives, allow it to encourage, to put a hope, because we are his hands and we are his feet. And that's what we're called to do. Go ye into all the world and share, preach, and walk and talk the gospel. That's our call. That's what, if you question what, you say, well, I'm too old to step out. I'm too old to, you know, go into missions and whatever. We all are on a mission field today. We all are on the front lines. We all can share. And when we start by saying, Lord, who do you have for me today that you want me to minister to do? It might be just simply just loving on them, or taking them out to lunch, or calling them on the phone, or sending them a card saying, I was just thinking about you. Hope we can get together sometime real soon. Let me know when you're available. Love to take you for lunch. And then ask God to give you the words that he wants. Because God knows what that person needs. You might not, but God does. And God will lead you and guide you as long as you are faithful. So get yourself ready. Allow that word to penetrate and to be saturated in your heart so that you can go share that gospel with others. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this word today. Put an excitement in us. And Father, give us an opportunity Help us, show us, Father, how to set time aside just to get your word, even if it's just one scripture a week. Help us, show us how you want to, you know, teach us. Teach us how you want to do it, just like you did with Jerry Seville, how you taught him, that you taught him your word, and it was a one-on-one. Do that with us, Father, because you're no respecter of persons, and that you want to teach us. You have a desire to teach us. And Father, as you do teach us, help us to plant it firmly in our hearts so that when we need it, it's there for us. And Father, we thank you for your precious, precious word. As we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Our closing hymn is 668, Wonderful Words of Life.